I woke up early this past Monday morning and began a time of prayer and a time of meditation and started to have a conversation with Jesus. And oftentimes when I am in a time of prayer like that, I'll ask Jesus to give me a vision or a word or a picture that he wants to use to speak to me in that time. And Monday morning, I got this image of a lighthouse up on the west coast of Lake Michigan. And this isn't an unusual image for me when I do this, because Lake Michigan's a place that I went, the western part of Michigan along the lake is a place where I went to seminary, a place that we like to vacation, just a place that has become a special retreat for us. But I had seen earlier in the week, because of these windstorms, some images of Lake Michigan. And I don't know if any of you saw these on the Weather Channel or on the internet, but Lake Michigan looked like the Atlantic Ocean in the middle of a hurricane. I mean, the waves were just crashing up on the shores. And these lighthouses that are 30, 40 feet high in the air, the waves were like, the water was going up to the top of these lighthouses. I mean, the waves were just kind of engulfing them. I mean, it was something I would never expect to see on Lake Michigan. It looked like a hurricane. So Monday morning, I get this image of these lighthouses and the waves just crashing down upon them. And then I got this sense that I was inside one of those lighthouses, relaxing in a recliner, and Jesus was in there with me, sitting in another recliner. Now, I realize as I tell you this, probably more so than I did as I was preparing to tell you this, that everybody's okay. That at this point in time, you're thinking, what's going on with our pastor? Like, he's losing it. But just hear me out. So I'm in this lighthouse having this conversation with Jesus, relaxing in these recliners. There's a huge storm going on outside. The waves are crashing up against it, but it's peaceful. It's restful, and it's relaxing. And in the midst of this time, I sense Jesus saying to me, I'm going to tell you a story. I'm like, all right. He's like, this storm reminds me of this time that I had been teaching and preaching in this boat. And I told the disciples it was time for us to go to the other side of the lake. And so they started getting the boat ready to prepare for our journey. And I was exhausted. I'd been preaching, teaching all day on this boat, and I just needed to sleep. So I went down in the stern, I found the cushion, curled up, and passed out. The next thing I know, I hear the disciples, Jesus, Jesus, what are you doing? Like, don't you care that we're dying up here? And it took me a minute to figure out what was going on, but I finally woke up, and I'm like, what's the big deal? And I noticed that the boat's rocking, you know, we're in the middle of a storm. So I went up, and I just said, be still. And the wind died down, and the waves were calm. And the disciples were kind of looking at me in the midst of this, and they're kind of like, who is this guy? And I knew that I had blown their minds at that point. I mean, they weren't expecting that. They weren't expecting to see me calm the waters and calm the winds. They were in awe, and they were kind of looking at me. And as he's telling me this, I sense that Jesus is just kind of laughing. They had no idea who I was. They had no idea the power of my voice. They had no idea what it meant to them and to the world, the things that I had begun to say to them. And so they looked at me with wonder. They were confused. And I think they were probably a little uneasy, because they didn't quite get that I was the Lord. They didn't quite understand what it meant that I am the Lord. Now, I want to step away from that for a few minutes. And I want to begin to talk about fear. Fear is a powerful emotion. The disciples were afraid, and they were afraid for their lives. And so they cried out, and they woke Jesus from his rest. Jesus, don't you care that we're perishing up here? They were afraid. We have fears in our lives. And when we have those fears in our lives, it exposes our lack of faith, and it exposes our lack of trust in Jesus Christ as Lord. Fear does something else. Fear also exposes those areas in our lives that we need to give control of to Jesus. So if we're paying attention to our emotions and we begin to have this fear and this anxiety in our lives, that can become a place for us where God's speaking to us saying, give this to me. Hand this over to me. Give me control. Fear is such a powerful emotion that it's used by people to control others. Fear is such a powerful emotion that oftentimes we respond to fear by doing everything we can do to control others and to control the circumstances and to control the situations that we find ourselves. Now, we see this played out on big scale in the last couple weeks. The whole idea behind what ISIS is doing in this world is they are invoking fear. And people have good cause to be fear or to be afraid at times because of their work. But if you think about how we've seen the world respond to ISIS and respond to the refugee situation, think about how we're responding to fear by trying to control the situation, by trying to control the circumstances, by trying to control everything around us to prevent us from experiencing that which we fear most. Now, I don't want to go too far down that road, but I just want to point out that when fear enters into our lives, we are quick to try to control, to grab a hold, to try to take care of the situation around us, to protect ourselves, to protect our loved ones. Oftentimes, in the midst of fear, like the disciples, our response shows that we truly don't believe in our hearts and live as if Jesus is Lord. When we do believe that Jesus is Lord, we give up control. Now, I want to be very clear about this point. Giving up control does not mean we give up responsibility. Does not mean that we just let go and let everything work itself out. But it does mean that we give ourselves over to the Lord. We influence what we can influence in the way God calls us to, and we trust Jesus as Lord with everything else. Because Scripture makes it very clear. Jesus is Lord. And Jesus is Lord over all things. In this account, we see that Jesus is Lord over all creation. Lord over the wind. Lord over the waves. At the beginning of the Scriptures, we see that the Word speaks creation into existence. Christ is Lord over creation. Christ is Lord over disease. Lord over illness. We see many accounts of Christ healing on the spot and hear many accounts of that happening even in our world today. Christ is Lord over all the evil and principalities of this world, which is why we can stand on a day like today and say Christ is King. And all creation will bow down. Christ is Lord over Satan in all of Satan's attacks on the world. Christ is Lord over all other powers and false powers. Christ is Lord over the war and the violence happening in our world. Christ is Lord over everything false, because Jesus is truth. And it's because of our belief that Jesus is Lord that we can cling to promises in Scripture, like we hear in the first chapter of Colossians, that Jesus is supreme over all things, over all cosmos, over all powers. It's because we believe that Jesus is Lord that we can cling to passages like Romans 8:28 that tell us that even in the midst of brokenness, even in the midst of suffering, even in the midst of trial, Jesus is Lord and is there working, bringing about good for those who love Him. If Jesus isn't Lord, we can't believe that. Only because Jesus is Lord can we believe that nothing on earth or under the earth, nothing at all, can separate us from the love of the Father in Christ Jesus. We can only believe that if Jesus is Lord. And we say, oh, well, that's great. God could be working the good out, but that doesn't always happen. People do die. Not everyone's healed. Bad things continue to happen. And yet we learn in Paul's letter to the Corinthians in chapter 15 that even in the worst of those circumstances, that even in death, Jesus Christ reigns supreme. To the point where Paul says, where, O death, is your sting? It's been removed because Christ took upon Himself the sins and the brokenness of the world and went to the cross and nailed them there, had them nailed there, and entered into death on our behalf. So that in the resurrection, Jesus could proclaim lordship over death itself. That even in death, Jesus is Lord. And so we can imagine the humor and the laughter in Jesus' mind when the disciples say to Him, Jesus, don't you care that we're dying up here? That sense that He might have had when He walked up and just kind of looked at them with this little smile and saying to them, oh, friends, ye of little faith, be still, and everything's immediately calm. And Monday, as I was praying, and I had that sense, I was kind of in my mind thinking, oh, I know, Jesus, those disciples, they were crazy. I mean, they just didn't get it. They were clueless. And I'm kind of laughing along, you know. How could they have not gotten it that you were Lord, that you were right there, that they had nothing to fear, nothing to be worried about? And then I had this really incredible sense that Jesus was looking at me and saying, well, then what about you? Then why don't you believe that I'm Lord over your life and over your circumstances? How then do you forget that I am Lord when you bring your concerns about your family, when you bring your concerns about your finances, when you bring your concerns about this church and this ministry? How can you forget that I am Lord over all? My list could be much longer of the things that I worry about and fear over. But I think that those three hit on three big ones for most of us: our families, our finances, our work. And Jesus says to us, oh, ye of little faith. Ye of little faith. We want this lordship of Christ in our lives. We want the blessings and the benefits of having Jesus on our team. We want the Lord's protection. We want the Lord's healing. We want the Lord's guidance in difficult times. We want the Lord's forgiveness. We want the assurance of heaven. We want salvation. Yet oftentimes we want it without the cost, without the sacrifices, without allowing Jesus to do the hard work in our hearts and our lives to transform us into all that God's called us to be. Now Jesus comes to us and promises us fullness of life, both now and into all of eternity. When we accept Christ as Lord and Savior, we are adopted as God's children. We become heirs with the same rights of Christ Himself. We become citizens of God's kingdom. And yet Jesus was clear with the disciples and is clear with us. The path to the fullness of salvation is not always easy. At times it will be like we are carrying our own crosses. And in Luke's gospel, it says that sometimes it'll be like that daily. That we will be called to pick up the cross daily. The same cross that Jesus carried to Golgotha, He tells us, you will, like me, carry that cross when you choose to follow me, when you choose to be my disciple, when you respond to the call that I've placed on your life. Because we will need to pass through death in order to get to life. We all want the resurrection, and we all want the resurrection life, and yet we often forget that that life came through the cross. In the process of Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, helping us to become the all that God has created us to become, and Jesus knows that person in us, knows who we truly are and who we are called to be, and wants to help us become that person. And in the process of that, He speaks to us messages like this: I am Lord. Give me control of your life. I am Lord. Give me control of your wallet. I am Lord. Trust me. Give me control of your heart and your mind. Give me control of your marriage and your relationships. Give me control of your kids and your future. I am Lord. It means giving me control of everything. Why are you afraid, O ye of little faith? I want to speak to a moment of how this fear works itself into the life and ministry of the church. We, like a lot of denominational churches, have been on this slide where attendance has been consistently dropping, and with attendance dropping, so goes the finances, so goes our excitement and hope for the future. And it brings in us this fear of whether this church might stand 5 years, 10 years, 15 years from now. And in our minds, the way we naturally would respond to that is that we need to take control. We need to right the ship. We need to make this thing happen. And in our minds, people equals future. The reason that we're struggling financially is because we don't have as many people as we used to have. And so we need to do everything we can to get people in the pews and to keep them there. And what has happened in a lot of our churches is that because we wanted to not offend, we wanted to not run off, we wanted to do everything we could to get people in the pews, we've lowered our expectations of what it means to be a Christian. We've lowered our expectations of what it means to be a member of a church. We've lowered our expectations of what it means to have this faith in Christ where we're growing towards maturity and we're living that out in every aspect of our lives. We've lowered the expectations, and what we've done is that we've lost that which we most need, the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our lives and over this ministry in this church. We say, come when you can, give a little bit of what's left of your time and your talents and your money. Whatever you have to offer us on Sunday morning, at the end of your exhausted week, we would love to have it. We lower our expectations and then we wonder why our impact has grown so minimum. I heard a story a couple weeks ago about an individual who was in the Army. And you notice when you hear a speaker and he's like, I served in the Army, all of a sudden everybody's like, it's like, boom, you got my attention, you got my respect. I can't say that, so I tell stories about people who can. And he served in the war in Iraq. And he talked about how when he was in the Army, and I'm sure this is still true, mission goes before all other things. You serve the mission. At all costs, make every sacrifice needed to be made for the good of the mission that's laid before you. And he talked about how that played out, and I won't go into all the details, but how that played out as they went to this war in Iraq. And I do remember this aspect of it. You know, he said that we were outnumbered, they had more tanks than us, and so it was time for us to go, and we were all in. We were all in for the mission to free the people. And as we went in, what we would have never expected to happen began to happen. As we prepared to fight, the Iraqi soldiers started holding up white flags. Started to surrender. And they started surrendering in such a way that the biggest problem that we now had as the U.S. military was figuring out what to do with all of their troops that were surrendering to us. And I remember hearing about that and watching that on the news and thinking how incredible that was. And this was his point, was that the Iraqi soldiers weren't sold out for their mission. They weren't sold out for their cause. They weren't willing to make the ultimate sacrifices. And so when it came time for them to step up and to stand up and to fight, they put up their white flag and surrendered. They had a weak mission and vision. They had weak expectations. And so when it came time, they had no sacrifices for the good of the cause, their cause. I realize that as I stand before you this morning, that I'm speaking about raising expectations. Raising expectations in my life in terms of what it means to be Christian and to serve the Lord and allow the Lord to be head over every aspect of my life. But also raising the expectations of what it means to be a part of this community. What it means in our daily lives to profess and proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord over all. And I realize that as I raise those expectations, that one of the things that becomes natural for many of us that have been in this culture and been in this environment is to raise the white flag and say, oh, but wait a minute. I'm not ready to go there. I'm not ready to make that sacrifice. I'm not ready to take that next step. And yet Jesus says, I'm Lord over all. What many of us say is, yes, Jesus, be my Savior. I want the benefits. I want the blessings, but I still want to be in control of my life. And I almost hate to use the phrase because it kind of has some, not kind of, just some messed up negative connotations, but it's kind of like we want Jesus to be a friend with benefits. Like we want that friendship, and we mostly want it when we want the blessings, when we need the healing, when we need the presence. I want to be the Lord of my life. Jesus, kind of hang out here, and when I need you, I'll let you know. And Jesus is calling us to allow him to come and be the Lord over everything. So what are we missing by not making Jesus the Lord of our lives? Well, I would say the majority of what Jesus lived and died for, that's what we're missing. But let me just give you a few thoughts here as I close the message. We're missing out on what it really means to be in relationship with Jesus. Because what we often do is we take what's meant to be a two-sided relation and we've turned it into a one-sided relationship where we expect to receive, but we're not willing to give and do our part to form that relationship. And in doing that, we miss out on the intimacy that's offered to us with the Lord through Jesus. Second, we miss out on the freedom that we have in our faith in Christ. How can I say freedom when I'm talking about us giving more and doing more? Well, because when we're controlling others and when we're being controlled by our fears, that's not a place of freedom. But when we can begin to let go of control of these things, then we can find a freedom in Christ that's life-changing and life-giving. And it leads to a third thing that we're missing, the fullness of life. Jesus says, I have come to give you life and life in the fullness. And yet so many of us are missing out on that. And we wonder, is it true that Christ came to give us life? Because we feel like death. Where is the joy? Where is the peace? And Jesus says, allow me to be Lord, and you'll find the fullness of life. We're missing out on the participation in God's mission in the world. Because when it's all about me, it's about my mission. Professing Jesus as Lord means that we're saying, my life is all about God and God's mission in the world. We're missing out on rest, on the type of rest that we find in Jesus. Why? Because it's hard to be the Lord of our own lives. It's hard to maintain control. Everything's up to us in that paradigm. And so the only way that we can keep ourselves in control is to do more. And we grow weary and we grow tired. Finally, we're missing out on our impact on the world. By not allowing Jesus to be the Lord of our lives, we're missing out on the way God desires to use us to bring an impact to the people in our lives, to this community. I really believe that the reason why all of these things were happening this morning is because if God grabs a hold of this congregation, if God grabs a hold of us as the church, if we submit to the Lordship of Christ over everything in our lives, the impact that we will have on this community would be unbelievable. The positions we hold in this community, the places that we go, the friendships and relationships we have, we are positioned to impact this community for the kingdom in unbelievable ways. And when we begin to pray about that and believe that and hope for that, the enemy doesn't get happy and is going to do everything he can to prevent that from happening. But Jesus says, I am Lord. Allow me to be Lord of your life, and I will work through you to do amazing things, to have an incredible impact on this world. God is calling us to be a community, a community of people who profess with our mouths, profess with our hearts, profess in the way that we live our lives, that Jesus Christ is Lord. I invite you into a time of prayer and reflection where you ask the Lord to help reveal to you areas of your life where you need to say, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you're Lord. Take control." Let's pray.